Day two of legal arguments, and justices are tipping their hands on how they view the most contentious part of President Obama's health care reform law, the so-called individual mandate that everyone be covered. Possible swing vote Justice Anthony Kennedy grilled Obama administration Solicitor General Donald Verrilli, who argued that since everyone will eventually need health care, everyone must have or buy health insurance or pay a penalty. To which Kennedy replied, could that apply to food? Where would government power end? Justice Samuel Alito wondered, could the government require funeral insurance since everyone will need to be buried? Joining us on the line is N.C. Eisenman of The Washington Post. And N.C., so we mentioned food, and the justices mentioned food. Was broccoli directly mentioned? Because this is what we heard might be...
Yes, there was a broccoli mention, and there were other ideas as well. You know, could the government require everyone to have cell phones since there's a system where you get fire and ambulance care provided by the government, and you know perhaps they'd want you to be able to have a cell phone to make that system function better, and so everyone has to buy a cell phone. Various scenarios were raised to try to question whether in agreeing with the government's claim in this case, the court would be opening up the floodgates for all manner of new regulations.
Well, and what was the government's response in the form of Solicitor General Donald Verrilli?
Well, Solicitor General Verrilli made the case, but I think just as interesting was that some of the liberal justices on the court, such as Bader Ginsburg, articulated it as well, which is that there are certain differences in the healthcare market because when it comes to healthcare, everyone will need it, but they won't know when, and they will be guaranteed to get it to some extent, and so the cost will be passed on to them, onto others rather. So that's different from other kinds of commercial products.
So making the case that we heard the government would make, that it's different because everyone ultimately uses health care, and we understand Justice Ginsburg cited the friend of the court briefing from Maryland showing how uncompensated care has raised consumers' costs there.
Yes. I mean, her argument was, as she said, quote, the people who don't participate in this market are making it much more expensive for those that do. And that actually led to an interesting exchange between her and Justice Antonin Scalia, who said, well, you could say that about buying a car. If people don't buy a car, then the price that the rest of people will pay will be more, he said. And then at which point the Solicitor General again repeated his theme that, well, unlike with cars in healthcare, no one will give you a car down the line if you fail to save for one. So there was a lot of exchanges back and forth, but often it was as much between the justices themselves as it was with the Solicitor General.
Well, as you told us, I mean, we are going to be hearing that these people know these issues inside and out. We might be hearing them try to convince each other. I just want to touch on a couple of things. When Samuel Alito wondered, well, could the government require funeral insurance since everyone will need to be buried? We understand the government response was what, that funeral costs aren't passed on to society, they're picked up by...
Initially, there was an interesting exchange there, because initially they kind of, were going with the standard sort of argument. But then actually Justice Breyer, Stephen Breyer, who is a liberal and is more expected to support this law, kind of stepped in with his own defense and said, look, if there were a system of insurance, of burial insurance that, on the order of what we have with health care, Medicaid burial insurance, Medicare burial insurance, private burial insurance, this kind of massive system that's the equivalent to our health care, our insurance system, perhaps it wouldn't be inappropriate to require people to obtain burial insurance, was his argument.
Well, but the government did, we understand, did say, but actually, burial costs are not like health care costs because they're not passed on to society. You don't end up in an emergency room. You end up with your family or friends trying to help out.
And you don't, right. And there is no institution that's sort of forced to give you the level of burial service, that a hospital would be forced to give you if you, turned up on their doorstep. Dying.
And see, we have to ask you, all eyes have been on Justice Roberts, this idea that he might be a swing vote. What was his tone?
I mean, he definitely was pressing the Solicitor General Verrilli. I couldn't come out of it and tell you for sure, but he was definitely among the skeptics. And I think it's also worth saying that Kennedy, who is also you know, often seen as a swing vote, and when it's come to the Commerce Clause cases, has been on the winning side of every opinion, important major recent opinion on Commerce Clause cases. He also definitely seemed hesitant. You know, he mentioned that that there's a heavy burden when something like this that's as unprecedented is being considered. He said, I think we can stipulate that, we're changing the relations of the individual to the government. So he also seemed to be really regarding this, at least with skepticism. Doesn't necessarily mean we know how he's going to rule, of course.
Well, in the few seconds we have, I mean, these are tea leaves, early tea leaves. But what's your sense, NC? I mean, it sounds as if the court was divided along the lines that are expected, but then in those couple of places where there might be wiggle room, what are you seeing?
I mean, I really hesitate to predict because, mm-hmm. They're always going to press hard. But I will say one thing. I was struck, one of the arguments that some people have thought is that Scalia might use the necessary and proper clause of the Commerce Clause, kind of it's an attachment. Not to get too legally technical, he really seemed to push back at that idea, and that for me raised a question as to whether he's would be a fifth vote. I mean, none of the justices that we're all thinking could be the fifth vote really showed at least a strong inclination to be that fifth vote. Let's put it that way.
Okay, NC Eisenman, covering the Supreme Court hearings today for the Washington Post. Thanks so much.
Thank you.